the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson. In episode 115 with Susan Burrell, discover keys to overcoming fear, finding your moral compass, and living an inspired life.
First of all, it's scary to go within yourself and go, especially if you have low self-esteem and you think you're worthless. You don't want to find the worms that are really the truth of your being, right? That are disgusting, yucky. Lots of people don't want to find the shadow. And then when they do go into their shadow side, it's daunting to do that shadow work, because I think a lot of people enter into doing shadow work thinking that then the shadow will go away. And it's not, it doesn't. The shadow doesn't go away. You just learn how to lovingly see it for what it is and accept it. And sometimes, oftentimes actually, it's informing us. It's helping our soul to grow. And we've come into these lifetimes for soul growth, for evolution, not only for the self, the soul, the one individual soul, and it's a collective, but anyway, but it's for humanity's growth, especially at this time, especially at this time.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice, or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast, the space where stories of strength, resilience and transformation unfold. I'm your host, Rose Davidson, and I'm honoured to be your guide on this journey of empowerment and healing. Today we have a very special episode tailored just for you, where whether you're driving, sipping a cup of tea or simply taking a moment to yourself, I want you to know that you are in a safe space. Healing Through Love is more than a podcast. It's a community. It's a beacon of hope and a reminder that you are never alone. In this episode, we have a guest who will share a story that resonates with the core of our mission, a story that illuminates the power of love, resilience, and the unwavering strength that lies within each of us. So settle in, take a deep breath, and let the healing journey begin. But before we dive into today's inspiring conversation, just a quick reminder, if you find value in our episodes, consider supporting us by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review. Your engagement helps us reach more hearts and spread the message of healing. It's my very great pleasure to introduce you today to Susan Burrell. And Susan's going to be discussing a variety of topics, from journey from worthlessness to worthy, to activate empowerment, finding your moral compass, and a little bit about healing through love. Susan, thank you so much for joining me.
Rose, it's a pleasure to be with you. And I can't wait to talk about this topic of healing through love, because I really, truly believe that's the only way you can heal is through love. So, and it's been my personal experience. So
absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
I don't think that we can survive without love in our life, as you know, even though we've been through some pains or some discord in our life. I think if we all come back to love and treat ourselves with love and treat our friends, neighbors, partners, family with love, I think we'll all benefit from that in the long run.
Can I just tap on that, Rose?
Yes.
So in my experience and what I witnessed with clients and my students, because this is what the journey I had to go through was learning how to love myself, because I didn't. I actually wasn't even taught that as a child. And I didn't know that the low self-esteem was not a real thing, not a thing that it felt real, but it's not who we are, because we're all divine sparks of light. So learning to love yourself first, everybody. When you love yourself first, in my experience, then that love just radiates out. So you don't have to work on loving the person outside of you, your spouse, your whatever. If the more you work on loving yourself, the more quote unquote attractive you become, in the sense of attracting people that are like-minded, positive, kind, compassionate. But you have to start with being compassionate, loving, and self-respecting with yourself first. That's where love starts, within, always within. And then it can radiate out.
Absolutely. Susan, I'd like to go back a little bit and ask you how you came to this journey that you're on now.
I've been a spiritual seeker since I was about 17. And now I'm a ripe old age of, I'm not going to tell you. And in one of those, decades where you go, whoa, how did I even get here? I thought this was coming later. So I've always been questing and reading metaphysical, everything I could get my hands on. I studied with a couple of shamans, a medicine woman. I studied with some amazing new thought leaders, and developed my inner worth from that. I really had to dig down for that at one point in my life when I was going through divorce after 28 years of marriage. And I'm still on that quest, Rose. I'm just on that quest. My spiritual practice, my daily spiritual practice, has always been meditation and contemplation, reading a book that inspires me, and then journaling. Those are my three components that help me. And in the journaling, I would find that where I was hooked, in a not a good way. And then the meditation would help me to release that. In fact, I've got tons of guided meditations on a great app called Insight Timer. And these are meditations that I did for myself when I was going through divorce. And they just keep proliferating, but the spiritual practice has evolved over all these many decades. I'll say decades, yeah, decades. And it's become, currently over the last 4 or 5 years, it's a really deep practice of connecting to a high frequency of love, a high frequency of love. And that is the thing that tunes me in, tunes me up, opens my electrical circuitry, if you will, opens my clairvoyance and healing abilities, because I didn't realize I had all these healing abilities and intuitive awarenesses because I had been so suppressed in my previous marriage. So it was literally coming out of the ashes, digging myself out of all of that. And the more I love myself, the more other skill sets would tune in. And I think that that's happening for everybody right now on the planet because of the energy that's been coming into the planet for so long, for 5, 10 years, but especially intense right now. But anyway, so 5 years ago, I got off the merry-go-round of producing product, trying to get people to do my classes. And I called a group. We still meet. This was 5 years ago. We meet weekly, but I called a group of women, highly skilled practitioners, because I wanted to heal my body. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I still am, of 30 years plus. And so I really, it was time, I thought, for me to heal my body. Well, they helped by sending me love and doing whatever their spiritual practice was, if it's prayer work or writing or whatever it was, daily for a month. And that supported me in recognizing, oh, well, it's not my body really that needs healing. It's my mind, it's my belief systems. And that's where the whole worthlessness stuff, not good enough stuff, came up yet again, because I hadn't cleared it enough. So that led me on a journey of all sorts of things, working with the elementals, archangels. I have spirit guides. I have always worked with spirit guides. I got a couple that are just spectacular in helping me navigate my life. But that became now a journey, a ritual with these women. We meet weekly, not non-locally. Everybody's all over the country, and we do this healing work. Everybody sets an intention, and nine times out of ten, one person's intention is the same intention for everybody. But it's all done with this high frequency of love that anybody can access. So the worthlessness has really, I've been diligent about moving that old ancestral download, if you will, because it wasn't really. I remember when I was younger, I went to therapy, and the lady's like, "Well, why do you feel worthless?" And I'm like, "I can't tell you why I have low self-esteem. I have no clue where it started." And in the back of my mind, I kept hearing, "Well, it didn't start with you. It started with your parents or your grandparents." So I was doing quite a bit of ancestral healing on my lines, my mom's line, my father's line. Eventually, I had to do my ex-husband's line. Holy moly. But that was powerful because my intention was that low self-esteem seed factor, belief, whatever you want to call it, would stop with me. I didn't want it going on to my son and the seven generations plus after. It would stop with me. So those individuals, those beautiful light beings that will be coming onto the planet would come in fully orbed, right? They're doing it anyway. They're coming in fully orbed, full of light, full of happiness, full of joy. I'm seeing so many new babies, and when I look them in the eyes, I'm like, wow, you got here early. You know what I know at this ripe old age. Early, how great. So, but
Wow.
it's all about love. It's all about love.
Absolutely. And sometimes through our upbringing, we have lost that capacity to love ourselves because of all the negative comments that have been made to us. And and sometimes we perpetuate that through relationships that we have throughout our life. So how can we come back to finding that worthiness that's within us? And projecting that love out to the cosmos.
Well, in my case, Rose, I had to cut ties with all the narcissists in my life. And there were a few. I did once I found I once I decided to divorce my current ex-husband, I didn't realize he was a narcissist. But once that happened, then it became easier to let go of a couple other friends, to develop boundaries, because I didn't have boundaries. When you get walked all over for a very, very long time, you don't have boundaries. I didn't even know what they were. So it was about getting rid of, releasing, severing ties with, cutting cords energetically with anybody that was not for my highest good. And the people that I thought loved me most, they didn't have my best interest in mind. I mean, they were lovely people, my mother included, but ultimately, underneath it was about how I made her look good, right? And my mom since passed on, so she gets it now. But I think it's about really recognizing when there's people around you, and then having the strength, because having the strength, it's scary. Right. First of all, it's scary to go within yourself and go, especially if you have low self-esteem, if you think you're worthless, you don't want to find the worms that are really the truth of your being, right? That are disgusting, yucky. Lots of people don't want to find the shadow, and then when they do go into their shadow side, it's daunting to do that shadow work, because I think a lot of people enter into doing shadow work thinking that then the shadow will go away. And it doesn't. The shadow doesn't go away. You just learn how to lovingly see it for what it is and accept it. And sometimes, oftentimes, actually, it's informing us, it's helping our soul to grow. And we've come into these lifetimes for soul growth, for evolution, not only for the self, the soul, the one individual soul, and it's a collective, but anyway, but it's for humanity's growth, especially at this time, especially at this time. So
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered all of that, but just that's a beginning piece. Get the people that are yucky, not nice to you, unhealthy for you, out of your life. And the other thing is that when you do that, then you have a vacuum. And the universe abhors a vacuum. If there's something empty, it will flow stuff right in. And so you want to make sure that that empty, I call it a chalice vessel, is full, is filled then afterwards with kind, loving, compassion, thoughts, people, animals, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it can be difficult with generational trauma, generational, all the things that the baggage that we're born with that we don't realize because of past generations. How can we, learn to get past those generational things that that we've inherited at birth?
So I believe everything is an energy stream. We are conduits for spirit. And because it's an energy stream, there is no past, future. You can collapse that timeline into one line. And it goes back not just this lifetime, if you look at your ancestry. And so I teach this in my classes. And actually, I think I have a guided meditation on Insight Timer about ancestral lineage. But what you want to do is focus on, like, say you want to focus on your mother's lineage. You go past your grandma, go past your great grandma. You don't need to know their names. You don't need to know what they look like. You just want to do, because it's an energy stream, you want to just find that energy that connects one to the one to the next. And you go back as far as you can. Oftentimes, as far as you can is usually the initiating person who had the poverty consciousness, let's say, of not enough, work my fingers to the bone. You have to work hard to get what you want, and it's never going to be enough because you're not enough. And that starts the belief system that gets handed down behaviorally, right? You're being taught, the next generation gets taught it, modeled it, then it becomes not, it's not even a thought form, you know. You don't even think these things. It is in, and I, some people say it's in your DNA. I don't know that it's in your DNA. It just becomes part of the family belief system. And so doing an ancestral healing, going as far back as you can go, and you don't even need to know exactly what the kernel of belief was. You just then are going to pull that kernel of belief out by the roots. And when you do that, there is a flow of gratitude to these women or whichever. Grateful because they did the best they could. And if you think, like, generations ago, especially if you're focusing on women, doesn't matter what country you're in, those women were brutalized. And if they had the ability to own land or a business or whatever, very rarely the men around them wanted them to be successful, because I think the men around them, not dissing men, but the men around them felt like the women were taking, we're watching it in America right now, I'm sorry to say, but the women were taking something away from them, which isn't true. Which isn't true. In England, centuries ago, women, if they were thought to be witches in this one part of, in Scotland, if they were thought to be witches, they were taken to this cliff and thrown off the cliff. And if they were a witch, they would fly. So guess what happens if you aren't a witch? Splat. And
That's
then the
it.
men could take over their business, their land, their property, their whatever. And there's a fervor that goes behind that kind of brutalization, right? It becomes a heavy, fast fervor, and people, not just men, aren't thinking about, oh, wait a minute, I know that lady. I garden with her. She's a nice lady. I don't need to push her off a cliff to see if she flies. Happening now, everybody. So then the healing through the ancestry, as you pull that root out, and you then send love, healing through love, you then send love back up your ancestral line, loving each and every generation of women. knowing they did the absolute best, and then you bless them. And then what I do is I turn around and face the future generations, and I send love down the future timeline, down for generations there, so that those beings that are coming in after me are going to land in a very beautiful well of love, as opposed to my generation and before landing in a well of muck, and war and stuff like that.
Yeah. And when we're feeling worthless or not worthy, we find ourselves less empowered. How can we activate that empowerment, moving forward once we've left a traumatic relationship?
Step by step by step. Activating empowerment isn't like you flip a switch. Activating empowerment takes work. It takes work. It takes learning to know thyself, right? It takes beginning to see the brilliance that you are, the gifts that you have, the truth of your being. And then you have to tell yourself the truth of your being over and over and over again. I have affirmations everywhere. Everywhere. I worked affirmations completely through, the entire time of my divorce, and I still do. In fact, I have inspiring cards that are the affirmations I worked when I was going through divorce because I know they work. So I pulled a couple of those, Rose. I'll just read one. This was an affirmation I worked. It says, "I delete the story. I uncreate all of it for the highest good of all." So as you're moving into as you're growing your empowerment, it's like a muscle, right? As you're growing it, you got to grow it from the inside out, not from, okay, are people going to see I've changed? Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, and grow it from the inside out. And part of it is deleting the story we were told, the story we run on a loop in the back of our brain, that is denigrating our neurosynapses, as opposed to and using affirmations. Or listening to life-affirming music. I'm now on a sound bowl healing kick of listening to people that do sound bowls online. So just in the morning, so I get recentered. Doing affirmations because the inner child who was disallowed their truth, disallowed their voice, disallowed their self-expression, still is within us. And that inner child has been wounded. And that inner child has to learn that they are safe. And the only way, in my experience, might be different for other people. My experience is I had to keep coming back to the table, keep coming back to the mat, keep meditating, keep journaling. And boy, sometimes in my morning practice, I sit down and I just cry for 10 minutes. Don't know why, don't know what it's attached to, but I've gotten to a place in my life where it's okay. I don't have to figure it out. And once I clear that emotion, then I can journal about whatever was bubbling that brought it up, so that that can be cleared. I don't journal to hold on to the story. I journal to delete the story, to let it go, to uncreate it. And then when you uncreate the story you were told, you get to write your own. And that's a huge piece of empowerment. Huge piece. And there's a difference between writing your new story that you want to visualize, you want to go to. There's a big difference than really planting the seed of I am good enough. So one of the affirmations I started working when I realized I didn't love myself was, I love myself, and I would go for walks and I would repeat this to myself. At the beginning, I wouldn't believe it, not a word of it. But then as I'm walking, because of the motion of the body, the physical motion helps you download these ideas and energies much faster than just saying it out loud at you as you're sitting at your kitchen table. So it went like it went I love myself. I respect myself. I love myself. more than I ever have in my life. And I would just say that over and over. And then it expanded to, I live and move in an atmosphere of love. I see with the eyes of love. I hear with the ears of love. I am love. So that's how I, that's part of how I did it. I also worked with some wonderful healers and just had to really develop my grounding. And like I said, I have these amazing practitioners for, you know, so when I get stuck in some low self-esteem place, I still do sometimes, I can reach out and then they're able to just wash it away from me. Wash it away. Working with the elementals was interesting when I got to that place in my life because working with the water element, you know, I take a shower, I just wash it away. I give it to the elemental element of water, let it just feed me and wash away anything that's not love. I don't
That's
need to
it.
know what it is.
You have the shower is a great place for healing yourself because you can, you know, pretend that the shower is actually the water from the shower is actually washing away all those negative beliefs that you hold about yourself. And I've often used that when you know, when I'm feeling a bit lost or abandoned, you know, I use the shower as a cleansing tool.
And eventually, I think it's important for people to get to that inner acceptance, inner awareness and acceptance that A, they're not alone. They're not alone because within is that divinity that aligns us to the highest frequency, to our soul. Our soul is completely aligned as above, so below, right? So the soul, that the part of the soul that came to incarnate right here is doing the learning, but the information is going back to the soul that is still in the other region doing the work, integrating it and doing what other work is being done. So to recognize that A, you're not alone, and yes, there are times that you just definitely feel alone, but also I think it's important to recognize you're not broken. You're not broken. The experience may have shattered you. Like in my case, the divorce after 28 years, my heart was shattered. I didn't anticipate it. I had blinders on, which narcissists are really good at putting on people's eyes and ears. But it was ultimately the best thing that happened to me because then I found myself. So, and then now I can stand here and say I wasn't broken. I was covered up with like plaster of Paris crap, and I had to get out. And once I could break out of that, then I found myself. That's who I am. This is who I am. And I talk straight up, everybody. I don't pull punches anymore. That's just silly nonsense to me.
Yeah, I reckon if you honest with yourself, you can be honest with others. And you know, sometimes it's got me into a lot of trouble being honest to the point of, you know, I've been called rude. But you know, to me, I'm just speaking my truth and speaking how I see things. And you know, I think if someone takes offense to that, it's something that it's something that they need to deal with, I think. But
Yeah, it's
that's,
on them.
yeah.
So you're not saying, well, I can only speak from my place, but when I'm speaking truth, it's not to harm someone.
No,
It's
same.
to empower, illuminate. So, Rose, you're gonna like this affirmation. I'm currently working. It's so great. It goes, I am truth standing in love and light. I am truth standing in love and light. And I'm working it right now. It's really helpful.
Yeah, it
Really.
sounds really great. I like that. Now, you know, when we've, you know, found that we're not worthless and we've now been empowered to, you know, to speak our truth or to move forward with life, you know, how can we find our moral compass in the whole thing that, you know, ties it all together?
Okay, so moral compass, really quick. I was standing in a lawyer's office and he had this compass on his wall. And I said, oh, that's it. It didn't have, it just had northeast, south, whatever. And I said, that's interesting. What's the purpose of the compass? He goes, oh, because that way I can always remember there's right and wrong. And I looked at the compass that had 8 points, and he's only filled out two, and they're exact opposites. So he's got the compass on there to tell himself he's wrong or to tell himself he's right. So I thought about that for a while. And I'm big on mind maps. You know what a mind map
Yeah.
is, Rose? Okay, big on mind maps. So everybody, you could do this. A mind map, you put a circle in the center of a piece of paper, write moral compass, and then you draw spokes off of it. I just did one for a class I'm teaching. It will eventually look like that, right? And you draw spokes off. And so the part about finding your moral compass is writing down qualities. I like to call them God qualities, if you will, or virtues that you feel you have already or you want to develop. So for me, my compass has integrity. That's a really big deal for me. I stand in truth. Integrity, creativity, compassion, love, harmony. So it can be any of those things, happiness, joy, intelligence. But in you can get like eight of them, write it until, and you just do it without thinking. You don't sit there and go, huh, what's my moral compass? And oh, I'll write that down. No, just do it, stream of consciousness, because that's your soul writing it for you, right? You don't have to ask. And it's a great way then to notice if you are out of alignment with your moral compass. You know, there's certain, or if there's an area that you want to have as part of your moral compass that you need to develop. So then you can focus on that area. You know, for some people, it's intuition. They don't know how to tap into their intuition. So then focusing on, I am an intuitive being, and focusing on that when you're doing your journaling or your meditation or just a walk daily, tuning into your inner wisdom of the heart, I call it your intuition. So it'll give you ideas of what you want to play with to develop.
I think having a moral compass is those, as you said, those things. It's, it's how you feel about yourself. It's also how you want others to see you, and to integrity is one of my highest values. And if if I find someone who's a little bit untruthful, I don't trust them. It only has to be something small. But I think it's because of my upbringing and being fed so many lies that I'm very very set on people being truthful. So that's what one of my and compassion and heart-centeredness and all of those things are part of who I am. And I think if you can find those things and remember them, and when you're projecting yourself out into the world. I think you will lessen that feeling of feeling worthless and feeling
Yes.
disempowered.
Yes. I tell my students, in fact, I've got another one posted up here. You know, post it on your wall so you can see it daily until you've integrated the concept, the ideas of those things. I Rose, because you're all about integrity and truth, do you have an inner BS meter when you're around people? Like, do you yeah, me too. And man, I've gotten so good at it. I can watch people walk to me and they see me and they go, oh no, and they don't even get in my sphere because they get, I'm going to call them on it, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, I think something that I learned from an early age, because of how I was brought up, that that sort of stuck with me since childhood. About and obviously as I became an adult, the BS meter was heightened because of the way people treated me and the things that I believed, and then found out later that it wasn't true. And just recently I had an encounter with someone who I'd let hoodwink me into believing certain things were going to happen in my life. And when they didn't happen, I was almost devastated because I thought I believed them, and I didn't. I'd let my BS meter, fall by the wayside and close itself down, and I didn't see the dishonesty that was around, and that was really hurtful for me, and it took me a while to get over that. I don't know that I'm over it yet, but I'm getting there.
I hear you. I hear you. I
Yeah, I
have
guess.
another.
Sorry, Susan, go ahead.
I would like to read two more of my inspiration cards because I pulled this right before talking to you, getting on this call. So, and this one is another affirmation. I am the center of life filled with love. I embrace my freedom and express myself fully. This one's for you, Rose.
Oh, thank
I think
you.
it's for you. I don't know. And then the last one is a quote from Janis Joplin. Don't compromise yourself. You're all you've got. Don't compromise yourself, you guys. You're all you've got. So as we develop our belief in ourselves and our value and our empowerment, if you will, it's because we're it, each of us individually. And it's not because we're alone. It's because we're here on a divine mission, if you will, at this time, the way everything's evolving on the planet, all of humanity, doesn't matter where we are, we're watching the evolution of humanity just burst and begin to blossom in powerful, loving, kind ways. We're in the age of Aquarius, which is all about love.
Yes, yeah, love that, love that. Susan, where can people find you if they want to know more about you, work with you, get in touch with your app, whatever that they're looking for?
Just go to my website, Susan Burrell, BURRELL.com. You can read the blogs I've written. You can listen to podcasts. I have a podcast called Empowering Chats, and I just love meeting new people. I'm sure you do too, Rose. And I learn so much. It's like my own little school when I get to interview people and look at and authors. But I also have you can access my Insight Timer meditations through there. And whatever else you can see, I've been teaching the first half of this year. I'm actually starting a class tonight, and then I'm going to take a break, I think, for the rest of the year. But if you check the website or sign up for my newsletter, you'll find out when I'm doing another class. And I often do them online. So, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I know you can also find Susan at a number of other places, and my goodness, she's everywhere. She's obviously got her website. She's on Twitter, she's on Facebook, she's on Instagram, she's on LinkedIn, and of course on YouTube. And I'm sure that's where you'll find her podcast. Susan, if you were to give some advice to our listeners out there today, what might that be?
To know and trust that you are valuable and that the love that is within you is just waiting to burst forth so that others may be healed as well.
I love that. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Susan, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to hearing from you again soon in the future.
Thank you, Rose. It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.